Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. Please enjoy the following message.
Right, just got the stopwatch going so that I don't go too long. If I go too short, I'll just make something up. It's good to be back in Brisbane. My wife kind of explained it last week, but you know, the reports of us having an extended vacation were grossly exaggerated. It wasn't like that at all. All the pictures that you saw on Facebook with us at the beach with the sun, that was Photoshop, right? Because New Zealand doesn't have any sun, right? It's so cold there. So it wasn't really holiday. Actually, it was really a tough 6 months. We were renovating a couple of houses there, and boy, that was a lot of work, you know, and it was really, really exhausting. And I didn't realize it that I actually kind of I really took myself to the brink of being burnt out. I don't know if you guys have ever experienced that before. I have, when I was a little bit younger. It's not a good place. It can take you months to get over that. And I was talking to a real estate agent, and because I was doing some strange things. Wasn't really, really, really strange, but just my thoughts were a bit really, really foggy. And the real estate agent was telling me, he said that he had been burnt out, and it took him months to get over it, and that I should look after myself. And I was thinking, it kind of clicked in my mind that I'd pushed myself to the brink, and I was, you know, exhausted, and I was almost at the point of burnout. And so it was really strange, because we had a lot of stuff happening, a lot of pressures on us, and we were wondering if we were called to come back to Brisbane. You know, it was so tough to get back here. It was really, really difficult. And so we've been pondering that in our mind, whether we should actually come back to Brisbane. Today I really want to talk to you, and I believe it's a word from God. I think it is. Mine's a bit foggy at the moment, but so bear with me if I start to dribble or something. It's just because of that. And it's the call of God. And you can see this is very, very plain, simple, boring, but like me, really. That's how I roll, you know. Just there's a bit of a story behind that. I won't go into it. The call of God. So I really believe this is what God wants to share with us at this particular time. Now, you know, some people say, I'm wondering what God is calling me to, right? What is He's calling me to do? Well, I'm wondering where He's calling me. And one of those is kind of correct in the use of the word call, and the other one isn't really. And I want to kind of address that today, because we think of the call as being something that we have to do, right? But I want to suggest to you today that the call is more about us being something. You know, it's more about position, where you are. You know, if you're in the wrong position at the wrong time, it could be disaster, right? Now, who watched the game? Sorry, I didn't realize. Hey, great to have background music. Thank you, Tua. Give Tua a hand. Actually, yeah. Yeah, okay, so. Anyway, so what was I talking about? Doesn't matter. Now, hey, you know State of Origin. Okay, we'll get to that in a minute. But you know, in Australia, you've got this really special call, and you guys up in Chermside would know this, up in the bush there. You've got this special call, right? It's like, cool! Like that, cooey, like that. Now, that call is special, right? It's either telling people where you're located, or trying to find where someone else is. So it's a really special call, you know. It's like, I won't do it again. It's cooey, you know. You've heard this before, right? It's about location, about position. Where are you, mate? I'm over here. And they'll just say cooey, because you know, Australians like to conserve their words, right? And so. Okay, again, about position, we go back to State of Origin. Who was there? Who was watching the game? Anyone actually go to the game? No, okay, that's all right. It was a great game, okay. Those who don't know rugby league, I haven't watched it for years, but that was a great game, apparently. It was a really good game. Now, and the better team won, was that right? Oh, we just give them a false sense of security, right? Yeah. So anyway, there was this guy who was playing out of position, right? This guy, Cherry Evans or whatever. The guy who was supposed to be there was this guy, Cooper Cronk, who got this arm broken or something. I mean, who would call their son Cooper Cronk? That's just crazy. But he was, this guy, Cherry Evans, was sort of playing out of position. Now, maybe that was why we lost the game. We can analyze that after church. But there, just imagine there was another guy there who looked a bit like Michael. And he's got this big beard, right? And he's named Nate Miles, right? He's a big hulking guy, and he's a forward. Right? Was he a prop? Where's our guy? Is he a prop? He's a prop. Thanks, Norman. Now, just imagine he swapped positions with Jonathan Thirsty Thurston. You know, he's a back player. Just imagine he swapped a forward, hunking forward, swapping with a back. Now, Nate Miles, he might be one of the best players. He is one of the best, right? He's a great player. That's why he's playing for Queensland. He is a great player. Now, but if he's in the wrong position, playing in a back where he can't sidestep and he can't quickly throw the ball or something like that, he's going to be pretty useless, right? He's in the wrong place at the wrong time. And this is what the call of God really is about. It's being in the right place at the right time. It's a positional thing. It's the position of God. So that's what we really want to talk about today. Now, in the Bible, we have the story of Jesus. Is my stop watch still working? Yeah. Of Jesus. Now, Peter had just denied Jesus three times. Three times he had just denied Jesus. And like any good Queenslander, if you've done something stupid, what you do is you go fishing. And so he goes with his mates, goes out on the boat, on the lake there, goes fishing. And they throw the net out onto the left-hand side of the boat. And, you know, there it is. They're out there all night. You know, these guys are fishermen. They should know, you know, should know how to fish and where to fish and everything like that. But they've got it there all night. The sun starts to come up. And there's someone on the shore going, "Coo-wee!" No, they don't. They say, it's Jesus. And he calls out to them and he says, "Throw your net onto the right side of the boat." And of course, these guys have been fishing all night. They're fishermen, and it's like, "Who are you?" It's like, you know, centimeters difference. You know, we're just talking about from here to there. I don't know exactly how wide it was, but it's only from here to there. It's only a short distance. And he goes, "Okay, we've been fishing all night, but because whoever you are, well, they don't know it's Jesus." And so that, you know, he goes, pulls up the net, flicks it over the right side, hand side of the boat. And within, I don't know, it didn't say there how long it took, but it's like within a matter of moments, I guess. It's like, oh, the net was full of fish, and they started to drag it up. And it was just, you know, a huge amount of fish. John, who's in the boat with them, he goes, "Hey, it's Jesus." I mean, like, who else is going to be like the fish whisperer or something? I mean, yeah. But anyway, so they're a bit not the smartest guys, but they recognize it's Jesus who's called them to do that. Now, what's the difference there? It's like we're talking about the left side of the boat to the right hand side of the boat. It's centimeters, right? Not much difference, but it's a matter of being at the right place at the right time. Even though it's just a small difference, right? It's putting the net in the right place at the right time, and you're gonna be effective. And that's like with us. It could be like, you know, we're walking along, and you know, someone, you know, God kind of prompts us to talk to someone. Now we might say, "Well, I can talk to them later." But it's like, well, if we are not obedient to God right then, the opportunity for us to talk to them right now could be just a moment in time where we could, you know, just do that. And so it's been, and the call of God is more about, is positional. More about being at the right place at the right time. We're going to go into our next thing. Now, Pastor Kent, oh, that doesn't look very good, does it? The New Testament church, Pastor Kent talked about this last week. So I'm just carrying on from that. So ecclesia, or whatever you call it, I don't know. What? Ecclesia. Okay, we'll take your word on that one. So ek means out. Ecclesia is called. So the church is the called out ones. There's a little bit of a debate on this, but basically that's when Jesus is saying ecclesia. Some people call it just the assembly, but really he's talking about the church. And so we're called the called out ones. So we're called out from something to something else, right? Called out from Satan's kingdom, called to God's kingdom, right? Called out from darkness to light, okay, from evil to good, from McDonald's to KFC, right, something like that. You know, I just want to be real with you, you know, like one of the reasons that we're really excited about coming back to Brisbane was KFC. You know, they've got this Cheap Chicken Tuesday. Who's with me here? Okay, there, I see your hands, I see those hands. Cheap Chicken Tuesdays, $9.95, 9 pieces of chicken. There we go. Now, I'm honest with you. Okay, not to go too far into that, but okay. So that's, it's called from, when we're talking about calling, it's calling from something to something else. It doesn't mean it's necessarily a bad thing, the thing that you're being called from to the other thing, but it's being called out from something to something else. When he's talking about the church, we're called out of the world from Satan's kingdom into God's kingdom. Okay, so that's what we're talking about there. So can we go to the next slide? Okay, well, now we go to, we go way back to the Old Testament to look at, you know, the first mentions of calling. And when we look at the in Genesis there, we see that there is, you know, God says, one of the first things God says, he doesn't actually say that he called, but when it says that, he said, let there be light. Now, I don't think that God said, let there be light, you know, like that. I don't think it was like that at all. I think he called, right? Let there be light, right? In some booming voice or whatever way, it was authoritative. It wasn't, I wonder if it's going to work or anything. You know, he's calling out, right? He's calling out. So from whatever darkness, whatever there was, he called out from darkness and light came into being. We also see later on it says that he called, he actually uses the word call, he called the light day and the night, or the darkness night. So again, there's a separation, right? There's a separation from one thing to another. It's from one thing to another. Also, we look at Adam and Eve. So, you know, Adam's there on the ground, God pulls out a rib, and he creates woman. And Adam says, okay, because she's from my side, whatever like that, she's out of man, I'm going to call her woman, right? Out of man, from one thing to another. Not necessarily something bad to something good, but it's one thing to another. I've got to watch my words here, you know? Don't want to say it's bad. Okay, so we see a few calls there in the Bible. We see, you know, Adam's call, a covenant that God has with Adam, and we also see a covenant that God has with Noah, and that, and it's very kind of generic, you know, fill the earth and subdue it, and it's talking about doing things, but also about subduing the earth, the whole earth, you know, as again positional. When we look at Abraham, becomes more specific. He's the father of faith. So let's look at that. Genesis 12, verses 1-3. So the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. So there are some things there, I guess, about doing, but before he has to do something, he has to, you know, when he goes, he has to do something, I guess. But really, it's about position. Go forth from your country, from one place. Here you are here. I want you to go to there. Now, if he didn't do that, none of this other stuff would happen, right? If he didn't, obviously, it's a doing thing, but it's more about being positioned in the right place at the right time. Now, if you look at his father, Terah, he was moving towards Canaan. And I believe that actually that call that was on Abram's life was actually on his father's life as well. But he disobeyed. He didn't go where he was supposed to go. So he wasn't at the right place at the right time. So Terah could have been the father of many nations. But we see Abraham is that man, and he had to go from one place to another. I guess here it's very, very specific. Okay, thank you. All right, we're going to the New Testament now, and we look at the Great Commission that Jesus gives us. And Jesus, Matthew 18:28-20, and Jesus came up and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So again, we look here. He says, go therefore and make disciples. So again, you have to go. And he's saying they're disciples of all nations. Okay, there is some doing here again, but it's, again, you have to, right at the beginning there, it's go. Right, it's go. It's be in the right position at the right time. Remember before we're talking about, you know, being just attuned to what the Holy Spirit is saying. You know, it might be that, you know, he wants you to talk to that person now. Okay, that is doing, but it's also it's just being in the right place at the right time and knowing how God is leading. So this is what he's saying here. we're going and making disciples of all nations. Okay, again, so it's quite general what he's saying about going, but he is also giving us the commands here. Okay, next slide, please. Okay, so this is kind of what we were talking about before. You know, sometimes we think, you know, the commission to go is to go somewhere else, you know, and sometimes when it gets hard, whatever we're doing, we think, okay, I'm not enjoying my work, or I'm not enjoying where I am, you know, at university or wherever I am, and so therefore God's called me somewhere else, right? I've got a calling to go somewhere else. You know, where God are you calling me? Because it's difficult. And it's like, well, actually, you are called wherever you are, you know, wherever you are, you know, and I have to talk to myself about this too sometimes because it can be difficult, but, you know, you are to be salt and light wherever you are, even if it's a difficult situation that you're in. And God actually wants you there, one, and maybe because you need to, you know, get some stuff off your life, you know, to grow, to help you grow, whatever, and also to reach the people that you are in contact with. And so the call to go isn't to go somewhere else, but is to just come out of your comfort zone and see where God wants, where you are now, and just to see how you can effectively reach out, right? So again, it's not necessarily about having to do things and perform or anything like that, but it's about being in the right position or being in the right place at the right time. This is what the call of God really is. Now, in the Old Testament, there was, with the Israelites there, they had this, I don't know how it was exactly, it could have been supernatural, some people believe it was, but there was this pillar of fire that would go before the Israelites at nighttime. And during the daytime, there was this pillar of cloud that would go before them. And they wouldn't move. They wouldn't move until that pillar would move. They would wait until that pillar moved. And I would suggest to you that the same with God. Unless God is telling you to move, to go, to think about somewhere else, then just believe that God is wherever you are. That's where you're called to go. That is where you're supposed to be at this particular time. Unless God is saying for you to move, and He's going to move before you, then wherever you are, that's where you're supposed to be. And so, you know, you may hate it, but I might suggest to you that maybe it's an attitude that you need to deal with. You know, like I was a postman back in New Zealand, and so many people around me hated their job. Oh, yeah, this job, you know, this and this. And I was like, and they say, oh, what are you thinking? And it's like, I love it. I love it. I don't know if it was because I was a Christian. Maybe that was a part of it, but it's like, I loved it. And if I really thought about it, you know, it's like I could pick little things about that job that I hated, right? You know, having to get up early, you know, having to pick up mail off the ground, you know, and sometimes you get a dog poo on it or something like that, and you have to decide what to do with it. There's all these kinds of things I could really hate about this job, but I decided that I was going to enjoy it, and, you know, it was great. I really enjoyed it. So if you're not enjoying where you're at, I would suggest you maybe, unless God is telling you to move, you need to maybe change your attitude and just think, no, God has called me here, so I just need to be available to what God is calling me to do. Okay, let's move on to the next slide. Okay, so I borrowed this from Google. This is great. Google isn't great, isn't it? Now, there's three calls in the New Testament, right? There's three different words for the word call. And so let's look at those. There's a temporary call, which is, someone help me, oh, that sounds good. Okay, so this call is always limited in time and scope. Okay, so let's look at this. The disciples were sent out on a short-term mission, Matthew 10:1. Paul and Barnabas sent out on a short-term mission, Acts 13:2. And Paul and Luke were sent out on a short-term mission, also Acts 16:10. Let's go to that next slide, because this has that. Okay, the Macedonian call. This is pretty famous. Now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now after they had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. And so you see the Holy Spirit here is stopping them from going from one place to another. There's some sort of resistance that is happening, right? God is forbidding them to go into these regions. But then there's this vision that Paul has, of going to Macedonia, and they go in there, and the Holy Spirit allows it. So we see that this is a temporary call that Paul and Luke, oh, Was it Paul and Luke? Paul and someone have, and they go in at that time. Okay, so let's go to the next slide. So we see that the first one, it was a temporary call. Okay, and that temporary call, when we look at the in the New Testament, that one there, that prokaleo, whatever, is that's the least used word for the word call. All right, so it's not necessarily as important as some of these ones here. Here we have the permanent call, which is klesis. Yeah, here we go. This is a permanent call from God. We have Romans 1:6. We have it's a permanent relationship. We won't go into these too much. We don't have time. Permanent position, 1 Corinthians 1:2. Permanent hope, Ephesians 1:18. Permanent purpose, Romans 8:28, 29. Permanent lifestyle. So if you look at these, carefully, these aren't necessarily about doing, right? They're about being. It's permanent relationship with God. Okay, it's having that relationship with Him, a permanent position in Him, permanent hope, purpose. Okay, purpose is more doing, permanent lifestyle. It's more about who you are rather than what you do, right? Your position. All right, let's go to the next one. Third and final call, that one, invitational call, Kaleo or whatever. God invites us to choose every day to live by an invitation to fellowship daily with Christ, 1 Corinthians 1:9, an invitation to live freely, Galatians 5:13, an invitation to live by the promises of God, 1 Thessalonians 5:24, an invitation to experience an extraordinary life, Ephesians 4:1. So again, this isn't about doing, right? These ones are used more in the Bible than the other one, the temporary call. This one is an invitation for us to live, to be, you know, a child of God, right? To live freely with Him, invitation to live by the promises, invitation to live a holy life from one thing to another, right? God is calling us into that relationship. And sometimes we get caught up in, I'm guilty of this, you know, obviously nearly been burning out, is thinking that I have to do something to have God's approval, right? My kids, I mean, last night, I don't know what they're thinking, you know. I don't know if they do think sometimes, but they moved this bed, like on this wooden floor that we have in our house, and moved this bed, and me and my wife, you know, moved it back, and it's like, there's this big scratch on this floor, you know, and it's like, are you kidding me? This is, money, you know. It's like, and so, they don't do a lot, these kids, right? They don't do a lot, you know. They don't perform up to my level of expectation, really. They do a lot of strange things, these kids. But you know what? There's a funny thing. I still love them, you know. I still, you know, think that they're amazing and precious. And there's nothing more than just spending time with them, playing with them, lifting up in the air and tickling them. I just love that. I wish I would sometimes do that more, you know. It's a joy to my heart. That's what I desire. So those things that they do, they try and help, but sometimes they just don't, you know. More often than not, they don't. I'm sure that's how we are with God, you know. We get in the way and we think, hey, we're doing all these amazing things, and God was just, wait a minute, just chill out. You know, I want to be with you. I want you to be here rather than doing all these things, and your performance here is great, but I'd rather just you to be here, and that's what I enjoy more. That's what it's more about. And so, you know, we sometimes just have this pressure that we put upon ourselves to have to perform, to do, to get so many things done in a day, you know. Otherwise, we're like, God, what have I actually done for you today? What have I done? Have I actually done enough? And God's not putting that pressure on us. Sure, we eventually will have to do things, you know, but he really wants us to be a child of God and realize that He wants us to be in the right position at the right time so they can use us effectively, bless us, bless other people. It's not about what we can achieve and do. It's more about who we are and what we can and who and the being a child of God. All right. This kind of just leads me on a little bit to some questions that you have, because we're going through a big transition now. I know there's some questions out there, you know, like, why is Pastor King going? You know, why is he going so soon? Right? And will he have a room for me when I want to go over to Texas, you know, and for us to stay, right? Who is Pastor Nelly, right? Why is he coming? Will he have a big screen TV so we can watch The Origin? No, and all these are important questions, and I would like to kind of address these today, and it's going to really tie in with the message about the call. You know, so I'm just going to spend a few moments just explaining kind of what's happened and where we're going as a church. Now, Pastor Ken and Renee have known for a while, quite some time, that they were to go to Texas. And that might surprise you that, you know, you think it's just a short thing, but they've known for quite a while. So they had prophecies, a couple of prophecies. One was in Dubai and there was another in another country. And it was basically that they were to go, there would be a new assignment, and they were to say yes, and it would happen quite quickly. And so they were really resistant to that because they really knew that they had planted the church here. And they really love you guys so much. You're like children to them. So this has been a struggle. This has been a struggle for them to really to come to grips with this, you know, that God is calling them somewhere else. But, you know, because even though they love you, because of the call of God, they have to, you know, they have to obey God. They want to be in the right place. They started to make moves towards... So you wouldn't have necessarily seen this. Now, the reason that you haven't probably heard about it was because they've got a lot of responsibilities, like the regional directors of the South Pacific. They've got churches in Auckland that they're still responsible for, a church here. And so they couldn't necessarily tell a lot of people what was going on and, you know, how God had called them. Obviously, the apostolic leaders and the rest of the world knew this, and they were encouraging them that this was God's call upon their lives. So it's not just them making this decision. So it has been, like I say, a struggle. And then the reason that you haven't heard this is because they felt, I guess, that they needed to have things in place before they could, you know, it would be uncertain for you as well as it was uncertain for them. But anyway, they've been making plans for that to happen. We had a meeting with them in February last year at McDonald's. Was it February this year? February this year, yeah. At McDonald's. Obviously, it wasn't KFC, unfortunately, but we just had ice cream. It wasn't much, so it wasn't too bad. So we had a meeting with them in Auckland and KFC Green Lane there, and because they wanted us to come back and help out with the transition a bit, as well as the other leaders, they just explained to us about what was going on, what I just basically explained to you, you know, the tension that they had, and they knew that God was calling them. And we were, even at that time, we were exhausted, right? We're like, you know, just meeting over this property. It's like, okay, Pastor Ken, okay, whatever, yeah, we'll try and do whatever to get back there. And we started to realize, afterwards, it's like, hang on a minute. What? To be real with you, I was like, I think, are these guys flaking out or something like that? You can't just, like, this is a new church and everything like that, you know? And I was just starting to think, you know, whatever, you know. And the other thing was, because I didn't receive those prophecies. He did, you know. Anyway, so where was it going? Yeah, so he was also asking us to be involved with that. There was no leader. There was no leader, you know, in place here. And so, like, it's like, how long is this going to fall upon our shoulders, you know, to look after this church, you know, it's like, oh, we've got four young kids, and I'm really tired, and, you know, you guys in Chermside would say harden up, but... it was tough, you know. But I really felt led by God to say to Pastor Ken these three things. It's like we needed these three conditions before we would come back. And it was one, there would be a senior leader who was proven and that we could really trust as leaders. Two, that they would be confirmed by the end of March, and three, that they would commence by the end of the year. Those three conditions, I didn't really think necessary that. I wasn't really thinking that could actually be possible because there was only really one leader and a couple of people really that I could see in that particular position. And so I'm sure that if Pastor Ken looked stressed, it was because of us. We were adding to that like no end, you know, because they wanted someone, you know, to at least be part, you know, some other leaders to help out. And so anyway, so into Pastor Nelly and Tina. Now he was... in Singapore, coming to Sydney, Auckland, and then Brisbane. And just as he's going to the airport, his wife, she said she didn't even think about what she said. It just sort of came out like it was led by the Spirit or something like that. She said, be open to whatever God wants you to do. You know, be open to whatever God says. And he's like, what? Okay, whatever. Huh? And so he goes to Sydney, goes to Auckland. Now, we're hearing at the same time that... Nelly is in no way interested in Brisbane. Not necessarily interested, but it's just that he's got a good thing going in Singapore, right? He's doing really well. The church is doing really well there. They're discipling people. There's leaders and everything. There's just great things that are happening there. So he's comfortable where he is. Anyway, so I'm hearing that, and it's like, okay, he's not okay. Tick him off the list. I don't think there's anyone else I can think of. And so it's not going to happen, right? You know, so us going there. But anyway, so now he meets his pastor in Auckland, and he said to him, you know, he said, you know, in regards to Brisbane, I had this dream that this isn't funny. So, he had this dream that there was Elijah. He was passing the mantle or the anointing, transferring that over to Elisha. You know the story in the Bible? And he said, it was in regards to Brisbane. He said to Nelly, does that mean anything to you? And Nelly was like, wow, I can. No, he did. He can recollect a prophet many years ago saying to him that Pastor Kim was like Elijah and Nelly was like Elisha, and he's going to pass, at one stage, he's going to pass the mantle over to Nelly. And it was like, wow, I think God may be saying something here. And so he comes to Brisbane, and he has a real affinity with you all, y'all or whatever. And we weren't here, so I don't know, but for sure. But he really felt, you know, God was saying, okay. So he goes back to Singapore, and he says to Tina, he says, you know, I could be getting the story totally wrong, but anyway, no. He says, pray about Brisbane, because I think God's saying something. And she's like, what? Are you kidding me? And he says, you said to be open. And she says, yeah, but I didn't say to be open so that your brain would fall out, you know. And so they're having a bit of a tussle, you know. And some people do. We don't ever, do we? No, so. And anyway, so about 24 hours later, she's crying. And I think she calls Nelly and she says, I don't know what God's doing, but he's opened my heart to Brisbane. And I think we're called to go to Brisbane. It's like within 24 hours, you know. It's just amazing. I also wanted to share, you know, something about that Elijah and Elisha thing. So that really released us, because we had doubts, you know, whether we should come back to Brisbane. And so we felt, okay, no, God is calling us back here so that we would be here at this time. That Elijah and Elisha thing is really interesting, because there's a couple of families here that are like pillars in the church now. And they were part of the church way back in Auckland in 13 years ago. It's Norman and Easter, Satan Overline. They were there right at the beginning of that church plant, and they've been right here at the beginning of this one. 13, you know, different countries, different time periods, and you know, Pastor Ken and Renee, you know, discipled these guys, and Nellie has been a part of that as well. And we also see another family, Tua Marika, Tua, you know, again discipled by Pastor Nellie. So there's already that relationship there. It's always, it's like, I just wanted to share this with you today, because it's not like. This is all just up in the air, you know. This is made up by man or something like that. Who are these people? What's happening? You know, like, okay, why is Pastor King going? It's the call of God. It's not because he doesn't love you. He does. His heart breaks. You know, you're like children to Pastor King and Renee. It was so hard for Renee, I know, to go without saying goodbye. She just couldn't, because of everything that was up in the air, but she really wanted to. You know, so it's a hard thing for them, but, you know, this is where they're supposed to go. This is why they're going. You know, who's Pastor Nelly and Tina? They are an amazing couple. I think it was Easter who said this just to a group before. It's like, we are losing Pastor Ken and Renee. They are the best. They are awesome, amazing leaders. But we're also gaining the best in Pastor Nelly and Tina. We really are. You know, they minister all over Asia, going in and doing a lot of music ministry, as well as preaching and teaching and stuff like that. From when we probably last saw them in Auckland a few years ago, they've just, you know, they're leading a church now. It's just, what they're doing is just fantastic. And we're just going to be so blessed by them coming here and leading us as a church. So that's what I really wanted to share with you today, that this isn't just some, you know, what's going on with the pastor? You know, I was, honest, you know, I was thinking the same thing, but no, I can see it all. It's all part of God's plan. You know, he does care for us. Pastor King cares for us, you know, and Pastor Renee. But this is part of the call. They have to go there. They have to be in the right place in the right time. Some of the prophecies actually over that region is interesting, about revival in Texas and stuff like that. They're going right there. You know, they need to be there at the moment. Pastor Nelly and Tina need to be here. And so that's what I really wanted to share with you. So next week, you know, is Pastor Ken's last week here. So it is going to be a sad time. You know, This is the last time we're going to see Pastor Ken for a while. He said he will be back with Renee, hopefully within a year. They want to come back down yearly, so that'll be awesome to see them again. So yeah, it is sad, and we can shed tears. It's fine. It's fine to grieve, but let's also just really celebrate what they've done in our lives, input that they've had in us. You know, the impartation. You know, the expectancy, the faith that they've just put in our hearts. You know, I'm just so grateful for them. And let's rejoice in that. Let's also rejoice in the assignment that they have, knowing that there's going to be revival there, that they're called there for this particular time. It's not a demotion in any way, it's a promotion. He's going to be on the apostolic board there in America. And let's also rejoice in what God is doing with us. You know, we're going through a transition. It will be a little bit tough. You know, we're still finding our way and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, God is looking out for us. I just want to, you know, those words of prophecy, you know, the mantle has been passed. Pastor Nelly is becoming and Tina are becoming our senior leaders, and it is good. God does good things. He looks after his children. Yeah, sure, we go through stuff. You know, I've gone through stuff. You know, he lets us, you know, it was my decision to push myself too far to get to where I was, you know, doing too much, you know, trying to think I need to perform. But no, he just says, okay, people, I want you to realize, I want you just to be children of God. If you're a child of God, you'll be led. You'll be at the right place at the right time. You'll be led by him. The Spirit will lead you, and you'll be in a good place. Okay, let's just pray as we close. Lord Jesus, we just thank you so much for what you've been doing here in Brisbane, the Brisbane Church here, Lord God. We have, you know, we've gone through some things now. It's you know, I guess difficult to lose someone that we love so much, who's imparted so much to us, Lord God, and Pastor Ken and Renee. And we realize, though, that it is a calling that you have on their lives. They are called to go to that place, Lord God, and we don't deny them that, that they should go there, and we want to bless them. We want this week to bless Pastor Ken when he comes back, and to bless him on the Sunday so that he can feel just the love that we do have for him. Lord Jesus, we just thank you so much for that. We also ask, Lord, that you'd help us to realize that, you know, that we are children of God, Lord. It's not about the things that we do. It's not about doing all the time. It's about being a child of God, being at the right place at the right time. And you are calling Pastor Nelly and Tina here, and we welcome them with open arms, Lord. Lord, as our senior pastors, Lord God, that they would be able to effectively minister here and just feel our love and our support as we know that you have called them to be our leaders and ministers, Lord God. Lord, we just thank you so much, Lord. Also, just as your eyes are closed here, if you just felt like, I don't know, this was, I guess, just a general kind of call to the church to realize where we are and where we're going. But if you feel like, you know, there's something here about the call, about, you know, maybe you're trying to perform, or maybe you think that you're not good enough, you know, to really receive the love of God, to know that he is your Savior or something like that, and you just like to really come up after and just talk to someone about that. You know, what is this relationship with Jesus about? You know, what should I be focusing on? You know, who is Jesus? Then I don't want you to put up your hand or anything like that. But just, you want you to come down, see me or Tua here, or see Roisin, who was up on stage before, and just come and talk to us. And we just want to share a little bit about Jesus and what he can do for you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. All right, so, you know, we've got, I just want to tell you that, you know, Nelly and Tina, they're really excited to be coming here. They've been trying to get here earlier. So they were going to be, Nelly was going to be here 17th of August. I think it's going to be now like the 1st of August or something like that. So it's only 2 months before Nelly's here. Even less time before Tina is here. She's going to be here within this month. We're actually in the month of June, if you didn't realize that. So things are happening quick now. In the meantime, us leaders are stepping up, so we've got Norman Easter, Lena Renee, Roisin, and stuff like that. You know, if you've got any questions about anything that's going on, just come and see us. You know, we're kind of filling the gap until Pastor Nelly comes in. Pastor Ken is still basically is our pastor until next week. But if you have any questions at all, just come and see us. You know, we'll answer them as best we can. And yeah, that's it. Now, just before we go, we've got a table out here with food, so help yourself to that, and beverages. Also, there's another table just to the side there, and we're going to have The Pulse leaders are going to go over there. So if you've got any particular area that you really want to serve the church in, again, it's not necessarily about doing. We don't want to push you and push you and push you and think that you feel like you have to do something. We want you to, but we want, you know, the load to be spread. We want everyone to feel like they're a part of the church. That's what we want everyone to do. So there's a table over there if you want to sign up. It's called iServe, and we'll have all the leaders there as well. So is there anything else we need to say or do? No. Okay. Everyone stand up. Put your hand up like this. Okay. See you later.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. Thank you for listening. God bless.